Good morning. It's good to be with you this morning. I'm Rodney. I'm one of the members here and a community group leader. As you all know, Dave's in India, and Dave asked me about a month ago if I would preach today while he was gone, and so I'm excited to be here this morning to share with you. I just want you to know that while Dave is in India preaching and reaching people, that there's still a ministry here that we have to be doing as well. So if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to John chapter 14. We've been in the Gospel of John, and I really want to hit home on a subject today that I think we all really need to grasp. I want to ask you a question before we get started. Have you ever done something where you followed in someone's footsteps? Maybe you played on a sports team, and you were following the guy who graduated, who was all-conference, or an All-American, or whatever he was. Or maybe you took a job following someone that was really good at that job and they retired, and now you're filling those shoes. I remember my first full-time youth ministry when I went to Indiana. All I heard about for the first several months was about this great youth minister that used to be at that church. And finally one day I said, look, he's still close by. He's at a church 30 miles away. If you like the way he did things, just go there. It won't hurt my feelings. This is how we're going to do it now that I'm trying to fill these shoes. And the same guy, after I'd been there 5 years, had the same issue I had when he came in. We all have had those kinds of things possibly happen in our life. And I want to ask you a question now based on that. Let's talk about our Christian walk. How good have you been, how good have I been at following the shoes of those people who went before us? How about the disciples? What about someone that many of you may know who passed on not too long ago, but Wayne Smith? How about Martin Luther from days gone back in the early Reformation? Or how about guys like Bart Stone or Thomas Campbell who were starters of the Restoration Movement right here in the old state of Kentucky down at Cane Run outside of Paris? How well have we done in following the footsteps of those people to do what they were called to do, the same thing that we were all called to do? And that was to be a follower of Jesus, to be a disciple maker, to do what Jesus had done. In John chapter 14, verse 12 through 14, I want to read that scripture this morning. Follow along in your Bibles or your smartphones. But here's what Jesus said to his apostles. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than I, because I'm going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. There's like three key components in this little passage of Scripture that I think we all understand very well. Number one is faith, believing. Jesus said, believe. He said, if you have faith, if you believe. Believe in what? Go back in the verses before that. Jesus was telling his disciples, you know what? If you don't believe, look around and see what I've been doing. Believe the actions that you see. The second thing is work, or works, or doing. To be doing what Jesus did. And the third thing is praying or asking. All these things seem kind of simple, but they can be very complicated. Let's talk about faith for a minute. Do you believe? Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? Do you believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose from the grave? Do you believe that God sent the Holy Spirit to dwell in your life that you may carry out the work that God has done? Do you believe in the evidences that you see around you? Do you believe in that? Do you believe? What will you do, and what have you been doing? What had Jesus been doing? Think about it for a minute. We talk about belief. Now let's talk about the doing part. What would Jesus done? If I were to ask you, what are some things Jesus did? Somebody say something. What did Jesus do? He healed. What else did he do? He taught. What else did he do? He walked on water. What else did he do? Performed miracles. He raised the dead. He helped the blind see. He held the paralytic. Jesus made disciples. Jesus said, you go about doing what I've been doing. I need you to do that. The third thing is the prayer part. Prayer. But I want you to understand something about this. A lot of people take this passage of Scripture and several others and go, well, all I got to do is ask God and he's going to give it to me. Then why haven't he answered my prayers? Why don't I have everything I ask for? You got to go back to the faith part. You got to go back to the belief part. You got to go back to what God is talking about, what Jesus is talking about in this context, and what Jesus is always talking about. He's talking about bringing glory to God. So if you're praying selfish prayers, God may or may not answer those, or he will answer them, but it may not be like you want or how you want. But what he is referring to here is not selfish prayers. He's talking about pray to do whatever I've been doing. Whatever I've been doing and whatever you ask for, I can grant this thing to you. I can help you with this. I will empower you with the Spirit. You can do these things. You can accomplish these things. It's not a prayer of health and wealth, or a long shopping list, or a wish list, or things I want. It's not that at all. It's about praying about what God has called us to do. This praying is about fulfilling the mandate that God gave us. The prayer is about doing what God has called us to do what Jesus did, to follow what Jesus did. So now let's come to that one part where he says, you'll do greater things. Because that's the thing I want to talk about. You know something? I've never walked on the water. Tried a couple times, just sank, thank goodness for Life Vest. Never done that. I've never reached out and touched somebody and caused their blinded eyes to see. I've never done that. I've not gone in and there's been someone who needed healing and I prayed and touched them or touched their hanky and they jumped up and started dancing when they hadn't walked all their life. I've never done that. So God, what great things are you calling me to do? Because I haven't done that. Let's go over to Matthew. John the Baptist was a guy who had a similar problem. He had a similar question. He was about ready to lose his head for Jesus. And in Matthew chapter 11, the story of John in prison, John was the forerunner. John was the one that was foretold that was going to lead the way. And John's in prison. And he sends a message to Jesus. And he said, are you the one? Or we need to look for somebody else? You ever ask that question of God? God, is this real or is there something else? This is what John's asking. Notice the answer of Jesus. Jesus replied in verse 4, go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Go back and tell John this. He didn't answer the question, yes, I'm the Messiah. He said, go tell him this. The same thing he was telling the disciples before he had these few verses here. He said, if you don't believe me, believe the evidence. Believe what you see. And that's what he asked us. You see, because there's a mandate that Dave talked about last week in Matthew 28, and it says, go into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all the things I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always to the end of the age. That's the mandate that we were given by Jesus. And the greater things that Jesus were talking about was being a follower of Jesus who makes disciples and do the things God's been doing. or the things that Jesus was doing. Notice something about the disciples. Do you realize they had healed people? They had experienced some of that. So why are the things that we're going to do that's greater? In Matthew 9, in the healing of the paralytic, when Jesus went up and this man wanted to be healed, what did Jesus say to him? Your sins are forgiven. Why? Why? What's the most critical thing? What's better for that man, to have sins forgiven and an opportunity for eternal life, or to walk? You tell me, which one is it? His sins to be forgiven. You see, I want to tell you something right now, what J. Vernon McGee said, and I believe it. Preaching a crucified, risen, glorified, returning Savior so that those who hear may accept Christ and be born again is a greater miracle than healing the sick. Do you understand that? That is a greater miracle. This is the thing Jesus was talking about. Not only am I going to give you the power to do this, I'm going to put my Holy Spirit in your life. So while you all are in Nicholasville, Kentucky, the Holy Spirit is here. Dave is in India, and the Holy Spirit is there. And it doesn't matter where you go all over the world, we can reach the lost for Jesus. Because the most important thing is to make sure that people have the saving grace of God. Now, we're going to collect things and take them down to Jacksonville. And we're going to help people that need helping. And we're going to take them water. And we're going to take them feminine napkins and toilet paper or whatever else is on this stage, and canned goods and food. But I want to tell you something. If we don't go there in the name of Jesus, and if we don't take the opportunity to share the message to people that we run into, all we've done is alleviate a little bit of pain for somebody for a short amount of time. That's it. Now, I believe in missions. I believe in going all over the world, and I believe in helping people, and I believe in helping the needy, and I believe in ministering to people who are in need. But I believe the most important thing we can do while we're there is share the gospel message of Jesus. Because that's what Jesus did. He gave his life for it. He died for it. You see, that's why it's more difficult. It costs blood. It costs sacrifice. There's a lot of people that take water to Florida and to other places. And there's a lot of people that go to other things and help meet people's needs. But that's all they've done. They've really not got to the crust of what's wrong. They need Jesus. They need salvation. So we need to make sure that while we are going into all of these parts of the world, that not only are we taking goods and water and drink, but we're taking the message of Jesus. This is what Jesus wanted his disciples to understand. This is what he wanted you and I to understand. He said, listen, do what I've been doing. Believe what you have seen. And I'm going to make it so you can do greater things than I have done. Because when I go be with the Father, the Holy Spirit, and that's what comes after all of these passages, that was what he was getting ready to tell them, is going to be placed in your life. And you're going to have the power and the abilities to go do these things. We oftentimes don't, because I think we're afraid. We're afraid of the Holy Spirit. We're afraid of what he might ask us to do. We're afraid. That if I pray, and I really pray, God, call me to do, what do you want me to do? And he tells us, really? That's what you want me to do? Can't I just get water and take it to Jacksonville? That's much safer. Do I really have to work with the person that's next to me at work that's not a Christian, that's an atheist, or is someone, or they don't believe, or whatever? You really want me to share the gospel message with them? Because that's a lot tougher. That's so much harder. That's so much harder. Let me say it again. You can help people all you want. And you can do all of that, and that needs to be done, and Jesus called us to do that. But if you don't share the message while you're there, you're not fully fulfilling the mandate given to us by Jesus. You're not. Jesus made it clear to the paralytic, what's more important, healing his sins or helping him walk? What's more important, giving somebody water or sharing the living water that Jesus shared with the woman at the well? What's more important? ask yourself that question. It's really tough. It's really tough. So how are we doing? So you need to take a little bit of time and take some inventory on how am I doing? How am I doing in my walk? Okay, I brought water. I went on a mission trip. I go to church. I'm involved in this area, whatever it is. But how am I at doing what Jesus was doing? Getting into the lives of people. Understanding that they need a Savior. Understanding that the most important thing that I can do for them is to share with them the loving grace of Jesus. My brother, who I inspired me in ministry and prayed for me when I was running from ministry and spent a big time in my life, used to have little cards he made up because he was a poor Bible college student and he didn't have all this Instaprint and all that stuff or whatever it is, Vistaprint and get 100 cards or whatever it is, 1,000 cards. From he didn't have that. So he just kind of had a little card he had made and had his name on it. And on the back of it, when he would stop and help somebody, no matter who it was, somebody have a flat tire, he'd just stop and help them. And they would, you know, say thank you or not say thank you. And he would go, well, don't thank me, thank Jesus. And hand him this little card. That's all he would say. And he'd get in his car and he'd drive off. Or if he took food to someone, he goes, don't thank me, thank Jesus. Hand him a card and move on. And on the back of the card, it said, if you met me today and forget me tomorrow, you've lost nothing. But if you met Jesus today and forget him, you've lost everything. You've lost everything. Think about that. There are people, I am convinced, that are going to come into your life that God has placed there to give you an opportunity to share this message and to do the things that Jesus was doing. Help them how they need help, but while you're helping them, share the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And if you don't take it, there's no guarantee they'll get another one. There's no guarantee. When I first went into ministry, I had been in college, I'd dropped out, was having a struggle. I moved to Cincinnati to go to Bible college and I wasn't sure what God was calling me to do. I spent a lot of time fighting what God was calling me to do. And I came back and there was a friend of mine and she was a really good friend. And she called me up and said, can you come by the house today? I need to talk to you. And she sat down, and she had gone to church a few times with her grandmother, but she looked me dead in the eye and said, I don't get what's going on with you. What is this whole Bible college thing? What is this, you know, I knew you played on the church softball team, but I mean, what is this? This is not, I don't get it. I don't understand what's going on. Why are you doing this? Why are you moving away? What is going on? And I just could not answer any questions. Two weeks later, I came home. I was at my mom's. I was cutting wood, helping her get some wood gathered for the winter. And I got a phone call. And it was from someone who was close to me, and I said, I need you to know there was an accident today. And that Bobby Sue died. She was 19 years old, had been married 6 months. She died. Pretty instant. That was my last conversation with her. That was an opportunity I'll never get back. I only pray that someone got to her within that 2 weeks. That I don't know. those things do not leave you. You see, that's how critical this is. That's how important this is. This is about people's salvation. This is about people's lives, their eternal lives. This isn't just something we do to have time to do it on Sunday. This is not something we do to eat up time. This is not something we do just to go feel good about ourselves because we're helping people who are hurting a little bit. That's not what this is about. This is about people's salvation. This is about people and their eternity. And that's what Jesus was about. He did all this other stuff in the process, but he was about their eternal salvation. He was more important than making sure they understood the saving grace that he had, the eternal life he could give, than anything else that he did. And he told us we would do greater things. Because there's one thing Jesus was not able to do while he was on earth: be in two places at once. He could heal in two places at once, but he physically couldn't be there. And he knew the church would have the opportunity to be all over the world at the same time, and his spirit would be in their life. That's a challenge, just to do what Jesus did. Let's pray. God, we love you.